This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Saying adieu to Paris. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, June 2nd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump says he will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord. One reason he cited, he doesn't want other countries to gain a financial advantage over the U.S.
Also from Washington, the Justice Department last night asked the U.S. Supreme Court to revive the president's travel ban.
Horrifying scene in Southeast Asia where a man shooting an assault rifle sets fire to a casino in the Philippines, killing 36 people and injuring 54 others.
And going back to basics, to protect your online privacy.
Some of the biggest companies in the world have made us think that the cost of using the internet is letting them data mine our lives. And it doesn't have to be that way entirely. There's things that anybody can do to protect your privacy and to keep snooping eyes out of your photos, your emails, the websites that you visit.
Wall Street Journal tech writer Jeffrey Fowler has ways to reduce your online exposure, even for those who are not tech savvy. He's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump said he will pull out of the Paris Climate Accord in an effort to boost the nation's industry and independence. Mr. Trump said he would begin negotiations to either re-enter the Paris Agreement under new terms or craft a new deal that he judges to be fair to the U.S. and its workers.
This agreement is less about the climate and more about other countries gaining a financial advantage over the United States.
Lawmakers' reactions split largely along party lines. Washington Democratic Governor Jay Inslee.
The president's action today will not change our course because we knew that he was going to be an abject failure when it came to leading the country to reduce climate gas emissions.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Defense Secretary James Mattis wanted the U.S. to remain, while Senior Advisor Steve Bannon and EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt wanted the U.S. to leave. Mr. Trump pointed to the agreement's lesser requirements for the world's other leading carbon emitters, China and India. Well, the Trump administration has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to revive a temporary travel ban after it was blocked by lower courts that found it was discriminatory. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The administration filed emergency applications with the Supreme Court to block two different lower court rulings that went against Mr. Trump's order 3 months ago that barred entry for people from six countries in the Middle East and Africa for 90 days while the U.S. implements stricter screening. One of the big decisions will be whether Mr. Trump's campaign rhetoric can be used by lower courts to block the ban. The Justice Department has asked the court to expedite the case. Mr. Trump says the travel ban is needed to prevent terrorism. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. 9 minutes after the hour. Former FBI Director James Comey will testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee next Thursday about possible collusion between Trump campaign officials and the Russians. Key subject, what President Trump may or may not have said to Mr. Comey regarding former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn. Analysis now from Florida defense attorney Bradford Cohen, who's a friend of President Trump, who also once represented former Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski. Brad, your take on this?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting because everyone is kind of speculating as to what he's going to say. No one really knows for sure what he's going to say. Some things could be confidential in terms of some kind of liability in regards to a higher scrutiny that is looked upon if it contains any kind of confidential information. Obviously, he says he took some notes. Those notes aren't going to be turned over. I think the scrutiny is going to come to whether or not the president asked him to do something that he felt that he was not authorized to do or that the president was stepping out of line. What's interesting is if it is true what the reports are, first, I don't think it rises to any level of crime whatsoever. But if Comey thought it rised to some level or he felt that he was obstructing, Comey actually would have had a duty to report that to the proper authorities in regards to what he was asked to do. So Comey himself could be in trouble. So it's kind of an unusual situation. I don't think, if all the reports are true what was said, I don't think that rises to any level of obstruction in my mind.
All right, so explain how come, because as it's been positioned by various organizations who are reporting it, it was said that President Trump approached Director Comey about, hey, hoping you can see fit to leave this alone, he's a good guy, regarding Mike Flynn, the National Security Advisor. Why wouldn't be seen as interference, I guess, or obstruction?
So if you look at what the official obstruction rules are in terms of what the elements of obstruction are, there needs to be some kind of malicious intent. There needs to be a definite statement hoping to see fit that he would let this go, or that such and such is a good guy, General Flynn is a good guy. It certainly doesn't rise to any level even close to that. So if it is indeed accurate, I still don't think it rises to that level. And if you read the statute carefully, most people would agree. Right. And most legal scholars agree. There's a litany of individuals that are actually very liberal and say, hey, I'm a Democrat, I voted for Hillary Clinton, but I still don't think this rises to the level of obstruction. Alan Dershowitz being one of them, who's a very well-known attorney out of Massachusetts.
Mm. We're speaking with Bradford Cohen, Florida criminal defense attorney. We're talking about the upcoming James Comey testimony. To your point earlier, finish that up with regards to Director Comey. He would have had to have done something if he thought that this was some sort of obstruction, if it's true what President Trump said regarding Mr. Flynn.
Right. If Comey felt in his mind that it was an obstruction or an attempt at obstruction, he would have the duty to report that to the proper authorities in regards to what he was being asked to do, if he actually thought that. So it's going to be interesting in terms of him getting interviewed and giving testimony, that if he says he felt that it was obstruction, then the next question should be asked, well, why didn't you report it if you felt that it was obstruction, or did you feel you had a duty to report that? So it's really a kind of a catch-22 for Comey by saying that he felt it was obstruction. My gut feeling is I don't think he's going to say he felt it was obstruction. He's going to think that he might say he felt uncomfortable, again, assuming everything that was reported on and said was true.
Right.
I believe his testimony is going to be more along the lines that he might have felt uncomfortable, that he might have felt that it was inappropriate, but I think that he's going to even have to feel that it didn't rise to the level of obstruction, because if he says it did, he's going to be in hot water himself.
Thanks, Brad. Bradford Cohen, criminal defense attorney based in Florida. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or Barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday. 36 people have been killed in a casino in the capital of the Philippines. It happened earlier today in Manila when a gunman fired shots from an assault rifle and set fire to gambling tables. Another 54 were injured. The victims, who did not appear to have been shot, are thought to have died of suffocation. Authorities told CNN that most of the victims were women who were found dead inside the bathroom. Despite ongoing ISIS-affiliated militant activity in the southern Philippines island of Mindanao, a spokesman for Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte says this was a robbery gone bad, not terrorism.
This particular situation in Manila is not in any way directly linked to terrorist attacks.
Officials say the man ransacked a room and stole gaming chips. He had stuffed chips totaling $2.3 million in a backpack, which was recovered by police. Police say the attacker later committed suicide by setting himself on fire, then shooting himself. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Florida President Trump says the U.S. will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord, arguing that the agreement is a threat to the economy and American sovereignty.
Compliance with the terms of the Paris Accord and the onerous energy restrictions that is placed on the United States could cost America as much as 2.7 million lost jobs by 2025.
But top officials from China and Europe reaffirmed their commitment to the deal. French President Emmanuel Macron.
I do respect this decision, but I do think it is an actual mistake, both for the U.S. and for our planet.
Macron says wherever we live, we share the responsibility to make the planet great again. The Trump administration is asking the Supreme Court to reinstate its ban on travelers from six mostly Muslim countries. The Justice Department filing to the High Court last night argues that the Federal Appeals Court in Richmond made several mistakes in ruling against the Trump travel policy. The government says the U.S. will be safer if the policy is put in place. Aviation officials are pushing back against a proposal being considered by the Trump administration to ban carry-on laptops on some international flights, saying such a ban could create a fire risk from lithium batteries that would have to be stored in cargo holds. They say if you put all the electronic devices in the aircraft belly, they would be inaccessible to crews trained in dealing with fires. With the NBA Finals now underway, it was time for NBA-related mean tweets last night on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Among those coming in for online ridicule was Paul George of the Pacers.
The dopest thing about Carl Anthony Towns is that he looks like a gigantic, extraordinarily athletic baby.
Another Twitter user described James Harden as being someone who always looks like he's about to lead the Israelites through the Red Sea. And a Twitter user said of Shaquille O'Neal, I don't think Shaq is dumb, but he sure looks like it.
Oh, come on.
Ouch.
Ouch, that hurts. You'll love Twitter, though, as a funny bunch of people, for sure. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Your laptop and that smartphone glued to your hand are double agents. What you look at, where you go, even what you say can be used to paint a portrait of you, leaving you as exposed as the day you were born. Much of Silicon Valley wants you to think the price of using the internet is letting them data mine your life. As Wall Street Journal tech writer Jeffrey Fowler puts it, you wouldn't walk naked through Times Square. Stop being naked online. He's put together a beginner's guide to fighting back. Jeff, what do we have?
Well, some of the biggest companies in the world, actually the biggest companies in the world, have made us think that using the internet, the cost of using the internet, is letting them data mine our lives. And it doesn't have to be that way entirely. There's things that anybody can do, even if you're not a super techie person, to protect your privacy and to keep snooping eyes out of your photos, your emails, the websites that you visit.
I thought the one line you had sort of the beginning of the story really hit home, like with a baseball bat. You said when the product is free, that means you are the product. Explain that.
Well, think about it this way. If something is free, that means they're probably just taking something from you that you can't see right now. And in the case of a lot of technology companies, it's data. And, in any given moment, a tiny piece of data about what page you're looking at or what page you just looked at or where your phone happens to be located at that moment might not seem like such a big deal. But what's happening is as the technology gets better and the ability of data mining and artificial intelligence to pull all these different sets of data together, companies are creating actually sometimes terrifyingly accurate profiles of your life, of you, everywhere you go. Google does this. Facebook is doing this. Everybody kind of wants to get in on this game. And the reason I wrote this column this week is to sort of show people that there are things, again, that you can do to stop at least some of this and fight back.
All right. So you say it could take an hour or so to kind of go through some of this, but explain some of what you put together, like the basics we could start working on today.
Yeah, definitely. Well, number one on the list is, share less stuff. I mean, hey, Kim Kardashian learned this lesson, right? Remember when she got attacked in Paris?
Yeah.
That was because she was putting her location and her information online for the world to see. So aside from, just sort of being more conscious of that kind of stuff, actually Facebook and Google have both made these sort of privacy checkup tools that are sort of hard to find, and I've got links to all this in my column to make it easier to find, but they take you through some of the basics. And the reason this is important is that the defaults on all these services are going to take more than you really need to give to them, both in terms of what you're sharing in public, what you're sharing with your friends, and what you're sharing with those companies, and they then allow advertisers to use to track you. So if you go through these privacy checkups, they will kind of help you decide better what you really want to be sharing with whom.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal personal technology columnist Jeffrey Fowler. His piece is called Don't Expose Yourself, A Guide to Online Privacy. One key point here, too, you said our smartphones don't have some of these privacy checkups. What's up with that?
Yeah, you know, for all the talk that Apple gives about caring about privacy, they certainly have a lot of privacy settings and knobs and twiddles you can adjust, but they don't have anything nearly as easy as those tools from Facebook and Google I just mentioned. But still, I think it's actually really important for folks to sort of, every once in a while, just take a census of your phone. So that starts with, like, do I have any apps on here that I don't really need or don't really use? If you do, delete them. Hey, you also will save space and maybe some battery life.
Thanks, Jeff. Wall Street Journal technology writer Jeffrey Fowler. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. What dad doesn't love to grill, especially when it's a great steak? Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. And now this Father's Day, for only $49.99, you can get a limited time Father's Day package when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter deal in the search bar. Omaha Steaks even offers online support with recipes and wine pairings. Here's the offer, 80% off Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which includes 2 tender mild filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus get 4 additional burgers free. Only $49.99 at omahasteaks.com. Type deal in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type deal in the search bar, grab your dad and fire up the grill.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, June the 2nd. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump will pull the U.S. from the Paris Climate Accord. Justice Department asked the Supreme Court to revive the temporary travel ban. Dozens dead following an attack at a casino in the Philippines. A sixth grader from Fresno won the National Spelling Bee. Correctly spelled some French word. An Arizona man got his driver's license photo taken with a spaghetti strainer on his head, says it was about religious freedom. And basketball fans buzzing about Kevin Durant staring down Rihanna after a three-pointer last night. Well, it is the eve of the 2017 National Senior Games in Birmingham, Alabama, and noted marathon runner Catherine Switzer wants to prove that by having an optimistic outlook on aging, anything is possible. She was the first woman, by the way, to officially run the Boston Marathon 50 years ago and wants to prove that at age 70, seniors want to grow, not fade. She's with us now. Catherine, what's the message?
The more you do, the more you can do is the message. And we really want people to realize the importance of staying fit their entire lives. That if they stay fit all their lives, they can live not only longer, but more healthily, happily, and optimistically. In other words, it's a better life. And it's better for health. It's better for the health of the nation as well.
Tell me, here's what I ask of people who run marathons. You've run, what, 39 of them?
40, because 40. Last month I ran the Boston Marathon again after 50 years since I first ran it. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. So I want to ask, what's wrong with people like you who run marathons so often? You have a screw loose.
Crazy people. We're crazy people. What can I tell you? We love the distance and everything else. But what I really want to say, this is not really about running marathons. This is about people getting out and putting one foot in front of the other, taking control of their own fitness and their own health, whether that is getting off the sofa for the first time in 50 years or recovering from a knee replacement where they really have to learn to take the first step again or maybe making a comeback after chemotherapy. Those are also elements of fitness that are very, very important and give people a sense of optimism when they can finally again have a sense of accomplishment.
Mm. You got to revisit that day for me in 1967. You're the first woman to run the Boston Marathon. Did you get threats or anything like that? Like, what was that like that day or the days leading up to it or even a couple of days after?
I was the first woman to officially run the Boston Marathon. Women had actually run marathons for a number of years before I ran, but not officially, and didn't get much recognition. Oh. Even in Boston, a woman ran and jumped out of the bushes and ran the year before I did. but I trained hard, and my coach insisted that I sign up for the race. He said, it's a serious race. You just, don't just jump into these things. Yeah. So he said, follow the rules, and I signed up. But I signed my name KB Switzer. This is not to defraud them in any way, but they obviously thought I was a man.
Yeah.
They issued me an official bib number. My coach picked up the team numbers at the local high school. I wasn't there to prove anything. I was there as a reward from my coach, who I proved to him in practice that I could run the race. So that was a breakthrough moment when the official attacked me at mile and a half in the race, tried to rip off my bib number and throw me out.
Really?
It was a terrible incident at the time, widely photographed, and it became one of Time Life's 100 photos that changed the world, because it showed the enormous amount of discrimination against not only women in sports, women in general.
Yeah.
And what I'm finding now, 50 years later, when I ran the Boston Marathon only a month ago, people were wildly excited, not only about the progress we had made in women's running, which is nothing less than a social revolution, but about the whole aspect of aging well. That here's a woman 50 years after she ran her first marathon is running it again.
Yeah.
And she ran it not much slower than she did 50 years before, and that she's 70. And I want to say, I'm not exceptional. You know, many seniors are doing exceptional things. People just don't believe in them. People treat seniors today like they treated women 50 years ago. They say, you've got to slow down. You're going to fall down. You're going to hurt yourself if you push yourself.
Right.
When the opposite is actually the case. Again, the more you do, the more you can do. I want to show seniors out there that they can break barriers of limitation just as surely as I did as a woman runner.
Nice. Catherine Switzer, noted marathon runner. I like that phrase. The more you do, the more you can do. On the eve of the senior games in Birmingham, Alabama. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big. Even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. We're joined live by Google Trends expert Michelle Timmerman. Good morning, Michelle. I guess Paris Agreement, right? Making a lot of news this week.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having me. A lot of news coming out of yesterday's announcement. People turned to Google to learn more about the Paris Agreement this week as news swirled around President Trump's decision for the U.S. to withdraw. So people were asking, what is the Paris Agreement? What countries are not in the Paris Climate Agreement? Is Russia part of it? Indeed, they are. And we saw a lot of interest in this across the board. The top country searching for the Paris Agreement this week was the United States, followed by Canada, Ireland, the U.K., Norway. A lot of people asking questions about what happens next.
North Korea in the climate agreement also. Just to add or the credibility or non-credibility. How about the spelling bee?
Yes. I don't know what you were doing last night, but I was watching the Scripps National Spelling Bee live on ESPN as hundreds of students competed to compete for the grand prize. People were asking what channel it's spelling bee on. I personally love that it's on ESPN. You know, this is a sport, and there's a lot of commentary involved, a lot of drama. People were wondering about where the National Spelling Bee is held, who is left in it. Last night, Ananya Vinay from Fresno, California won. She spelled Marocaine, which is a French word for a silk dress. People also wondering about Edith Fuller. She was the youngest ever contestant in the spelling bee at 6 years old.
Wow.
So a lot of very impressive kids on stage.
Wow, outstanding. I think we knew this next one was going to be one of the popular searches when it first came out, and that, of course, was Mr. Trump's misspelled word, kafefi or kafifi, depending on your preference.
Right. Again, speaking of spelling, kafifi trended this week, and the top trending question was the one on everyone's mind. What is kafifi? A second one is how to pronounce it. As a radio host, I'm interested in what you've been saying all week. Have you determined the pronunciation?
I'm a kafefe type. So I minored in Italian in college, so I prefer an Italian twist on things.
Right. There are two types of people in this world, the covfefes and the covfifis.
Right.
And search interest in this was almost 3,000 times search interest in President Trump or President Trump's VP this week, Mike Pence. A lot of people looking for memes, trying to figure out what exactly was going on here. And Words with Friends has added the word to their dictionary in the game. So you know it's been it's picked up quickly.
We're speaking live this morning with Google Trends expert Michelle Timmerman. Finish up with Jamie Foxx. Why is he making news?
Yes, so he's making news this week because people found out about his real name. That's Eric Marlin Bishop, not Jamie Foxx as we know him. And this is not really news, per se. He revealed this a couple of years ago. But someone on Twitter tweeted out a screenshot of her Google search for his real name and was shocked because I think his name is so cool that we don't expect him to have a very normal one. So people were searching for what is Jamie Foxx's real name? Why does Jamie Foxx go by Jamie Foxx?
Yeah.
Interesting story there. He was not getting booked at L.A. comedy clubs but realized a woman were, so he chose an androgynous name in order to get more shows.
Wow, good story. I did not realize that. Excellent. Hey, thanks for a few minutes, Michelle. Nice talking to you. Google Trends expert Michelle Timmerman with us live this morning. 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples is your office away from your office with everything you need to print, scan, or fax. Access files from a USB, email, or the cloud, and use self-serve machines to avoid waiting and get back to business. Staples, it's pro time. You know the shirt logo of the FedEx guy, right? It's easy to spot the brown of the UPS delivery man. Well, now you might have to get familiar with a blue vest. Walmart is testing a program in which store workers deliver some orders placed on Walmart.com or Jet.com. The Wall Street Journal says the test will run for just a few weeks in an Arkansas store near corporate headquarters and two New Jersey stores near the offices of Jet.com, the discount retailer owned by Walmart. But Walmart's idea is significant because Amazon offers one-hour delivery on thousands of products in 45 cities. Walmart store workers who have a car and pass a background check can choose to deliver up to 10 packages a day using a mobile app that suggests orders that would be convenient for their route home. They would be paid for those deliveries. A spokesman said only a few hundred packages have been delivered by store workers so far. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to President Trump has decided to pull the U.S. out of the 195-nation agreement designed to curb emissions and protect the climate from pollutants.
The cost to the economy at this time would be close to $3 trillion in lost GDP and 6.5 million industrial jobs.
A group of governors, mayors, business leaders, and academic institutions plan to submit an independent pledge to the UN promising to help meet the U.S.'s emissions reduction targets. Washington Governor Jay Inslee.
The president's action today will not change our course because we knew that he was going to be an abject failure when it came to leading the country to reduce climate gas emissions.
The group is being organized by former New York City mayor and billionaire philanthropist Michael Bloomberg, who says Americans will honor and fulfill the Paris Agreement by leading from the bottom up, and there isn't anything Washington can do to stop us. President Trump is poised to roll back another of his predecessor's signature accomplishments, the renormalization of U.S. relations with Cuba. Possible changes include establishing regulations for businesses interested in working in the Cuban market, reinstating caps or outright banning imports from the country, and reconfirming the licensing structure that would rescind the system that has allowed for easier travel to the country. Russian President Vladimir Putin has come as close as he ever has to acknowledging Russian hacking of the U.S. presidential election, but he insists that the Russian government was not involved. Putin says individual Russian hackers who are patriotically minded may have participated in what they believe was the good fight against those who speak badly about Russia. U.S. intelligence agencies disagree. They've concluded Putin's government was behind the election hacking and disinformation campaign. Kevin Durant scored 38 points and Steph Curry added 28 as the Warriors defeated the defending champion Cavs 113-91 in last night's NBA Finals opener. LeBron James scored 28 in the loss.
It was just the third quarter, it was the whole game, you know, and it started with myself, you know, having some turnovers, especially in the first half. You know, I pride myself on not turning the ball over, and I did it too much.
Game 2 set for Sunday. Happy National Donut Day. Several chains offering free donuts to mark the holiday, including Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme, Duck Donuts, and Tim Hortons.
Give me a small coffee, light and sweet, with toasted coconut or a toasted almond donut.
You're right in the ballpark.
Or a Boston cream or a sour cream.
Those are weird donuts.
Or a combination of any of those.
Yeah, I'm sure you eat all
those. Give me six to go. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Nothing like waiting till you're 101 years old to scratch off something from your bucket list. Five generations of one family attended yesterday afternoon's Mets game in New York, including Rudy Allen, who turns 102 next month. Newsday says after nearly half a century as a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, Ms. Allen has been a Mets fan since day one in 1962. Before the game with the Brewers yesterday at Citi Field, she got to meet David Wright, Jacob deGrom, and Lucas Duda. The Mets invited Ms. Allen after reading a Newsday story about her watching opening day at the Gerwin Jewish Nursing and Rehabilitation Center on Long Island, where she lives, and shouts at the TV screen when they lose. After the Mets' 2-1 loss, during which Ms. Allen was given two foul balls, she said she will likely just watch games on TV from now on. By the way, part of yesterday's clan included her 10-month-old great-great-granddaughter. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife.
Loans are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
I was making great progress on building my savings, but then I get hit with an unexpected car repair bill.
Keeping a close eye on my credit score allowed me to buy my first house, but an unexpected medical emergency set me back.
When the unexpected happened, Avant was there to help. If you need to borrow $1,000 to $35,000, try Avant. It's fast, simple, and transparent.
Everything is done online. There are no prepayment fees, and no collateral is required, and you can instantly check your rate with no impact to your credit score.
Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. And now, Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your rates and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 6161 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 6161. Go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 6161.